Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
I love those pictures right here. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Hair Show. No, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Bunch to talk about coming up a little later on the show. Janik Joshi, CD8 candidate.
But great candidate.
Oh, great candidate. Wanted to start off with grassroots warrior, Lori Sain.
Well, she is a warrior.
She is Weld County Commissioner. We had her on last week where she was talking about the Weld County Commissioner's open border. Rhinos on the commission not only don't want to say, oh, we won't spend county money on illegal immigrants, they also now don't want to hear from the pesky public, although that's evolving. Mm-hmm. It's evolving. So, Lori, first off, welcome to the show once again.
Welcome back.
So you are fighting the great fight, saying you can't ban public comment at a public meeting. And they're like, yes, we can, and we have. And even Channel 4 did a story. But maybe give us a little bit of the background and then tell us the latest.
Huge grassroots victory. So I made a commitment that I was going to make a motion at every single meeting until public comments are reinstated. So I made the motion today and it was seconded. And then there was Sean Commissioner Violence as they argued about it. And then eventually it was passed. And thank goodness, because we had a gentleman in the audience that wanted to give public comment that day. So the huge grassroots victory on that. We did get public comment reinstated for today, but it sounds like the commissioners are still going to fight reinstating public comment at meetings.
Right. So as Chuck was saying, so who was the seconded, and was it a unanimous vote this time, or what was the vote?
As a 4-1 vote with Commissioner Freeman against, and he was heckling Scott James, and Scott James did his normal Scott James-ness and, you know, well, I believe this and now I believe that and I believe this. So and then he voted for it.
Well, even, I mean, Sean Boyd, who we have sort of a bone to pick with her and their attack piece on Dave Williams, but they did a story, and I thought it was a fairly straightforward story, where she kind of pointed out that, okay, maybe technically that you could find some way to wiggle around not having public comment, but it's sort of a time-honored tradition, right? And here you have the Weld County Rhino Commissioner sort of siding with the liberal Supreme Court justices saying, oh, well, you know, we don't need to have free speech anymore. But I want to play some sound bites. So Scott James, as you said, is one of the commissioners who initially was in favor of banning the public comment. And what's interesting is he had a podcast on yesterday, I think is when he taped it. And he basically says, well, it wasn't so much the public we didn't want to hear from. It's Lori Sain. We're actually trying to silence a fellow commissioner. I'm like, what? So Thomas, if we could please play the Scott James soundbite number one.
Again, I will stand by, and I went through it yesterday in episode 87 of the Scott cast, why they were suspended. And it was less to do with the public and more to do with a certain commissioner that was abusing the process, and it's that simple. That does not mean that the public should be punished, per se. And so I will be an advocate over the next couple of days with Commissioner Ross, who is the chair, and with my fellow commissioners, about ensuring that we reinstate public comment.
So wait a minute. So he's like, okay, so again, the public, we don't really like hearing from them, but we really don't like hearing from Lori Sain, our fellow commissioner. And what was this abusive thing you're doing? You were simply saying, I move that we have a resolution that says we don't spend county money on illegal immigration, right? I mean, that is so abusive, Lori.
Which they agreed with the sentiment.
Yeah.
So why not sign it? You know, it basically says that we're not willing to put our mouth money where our mouth is basically right. What we're doing. And interesting enough, Perry Buck challenged me on Monday and said, well, you didn't talk to us about this, when I brought up the motion to reinstate. Well, they didn't talk to me about removing public comment. That was behind closed doors in violation of the open meetings law, in violation of our code, which states that we're going to change county code. We have a three reading process, and that needs to be publicized. And therefore, we would have at least had public comment on taking away public comment. So you at least think you would give the public that bone, right? But we didn't do any of those things. The public comment was just shut down. And, then Kevin Ross saying, well, I can't do this unilaterally. I have to have the majority. So obviously they met behind closed doors.
Right.
So well, again, violation of the open meetings law.
Well, and again, and it was, I think that they were kind of trying to weasel their way around saying we didn't want to hear from the public. But I mean, you are a duly elected member of the county the Board of County Commissioners, right? You represent thousands of people. So for them to say, we don't like that Lori saying, and so we're not going to let her comment. Mm-hmm. We're going to close things down so we can shut her up. I mean, that's just a massive slap in the face to your constituents on top of everything else, right?
Well, that's correct. And soon after they endorsed my primary opponent, they took away my committees. They took away my boards, and it was to obviously help my opponent. So they're actually using taxpayer dollars to campaign against me when they're trying to silence me like they did on Monday. And I got the "you are done" slap down from Commissioner Ross. He likes to say that a lot, by the way. He should trademark "you are done" because that's what I got for trying to not only reinstate public comment, but also to introduce the concept, which I think is very important, of joining Douglas County in their lawsuit against these laws that are handcuffing our sheriffs. And they think they can get it done. They have mayors with standing. We have mayors with standing that would like to join this lawsuit. But that was summarily shut down, even though our attorney said we can add things to the agenda at any time. And I'm an elected official. It says in the code I can add to the agenda. I brought this up multiple times. I've asked for a work session on it, which I did gain next week. So hopefully we get a resolution out of that. But they were trying to silence me, and they've been trying to silence me for over 8 months now.
Well, and
so
it's,
who's your opponent in the primary?
It's a mayor from Platteville.
Blackville.
And
so,
and
I've heard of her.
Okay. So I think though, this is important to note, like you said, it's not only are they trying to silence you, not only are they trying to silence the public, they are using their positions as board members, they're abusing their positions as commission members to support. I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, we endorse that person. That happens all the time. But to then actively use their majority to essentially rig an election or try to rig an election against you. I mean, these people are out of control,
actually,
crazy.
Members of the same party don't often endorse a sitting person's primary opponent. That's not unheard of, but it's pretty unusual.
Well, I mean, and like you said, and then they have the majority, so they're using this to try to hurt you in the election, and that too, it crosses lines.
Tell us about the election. Who's up for the seats and who's running? And
also in Weld County, we've got two seats up: Perry Buck for at large, and myself. And I believe the clerk and recorder.
Okay.
Well, has anybody come in to challenge Lori Buck?
Perry Buck.
But I think there is somebody on Tracer. I'm not sure how serious the candidate is.
Well, and back to this sort of thing. So the Weld County Commissioners decided that they were sick and tired of hearing from the public. So they eliminated public comment. They have reinstated it apparently like for this week. But in Scott James, he also said there are a lot of conditions about it, right? It's not like, and here's
can just speak.
Yeah. I mean, most meetings I've been to, and I have to admit, as a reporter, sometimes you would often find this annoying because it dragged on. But yet, on the other hand, sometimes that's where the most interesting stuff came up, right? Because the public got to come comment, and there's often no other way for them to communicate with their elected officials. That's the whole point of it.
Yes.
Typically, the cities don't limit, or counties or whatever, they don't limit what you can talk about. If you want to get up and talk about, whatever, and sometimes
they limit the amount of time.
They limit the time, but you don't. And maybe if you come every week, I mean, I've seen them do that too, where sometimes people kind of get out of control. They kind of say you can only come once a month. But I think if somebody were to challenge that in court, that might not even hold. But according to Scott James, you can only talk about certain things.
That's right.
Certain things. So if we could play the Scott James soundbite number two, please.
So I'm going to ask that public comment be accepted on that which is in the purview of the Weld Board of County Commissioners. Please comment away on that which is important to the business of running a county. That is certainly within a right. And so I'll ask that that is how a public comment be framed. If it pertains to that which is in the purview, the authority of the Weld Board of County Commissioners, please comment away. You should be allowed to do that. So, Kelly, to answer your question, and thank you for it, yes, I support reinstating public comments as soon as possible.
But he previously was explaining it took him a long time to get there, so I didn't include it. That stuff like immigration and
which
things like that.
Change because you're well, talking about joining a lawsuit. You're talking about all these other things. How does that not pertain to what the county is doing? And counties have come, you know, they've it's sometimes, you know, ceasefire in Gaza. I mean, they have no purview over that. They,
you know, look at Boulder. They're always doing stuff. But I mean, you're right. So explain. I mean, because one of the, they were trying to limit this whole discussion on illegal immigration, saying, well, that's none of our business. But point out again, as you so well did, it is exactly the business of Weld County and other communities in Colorado.
Right. And Scott, I just wanted to just let you know, before they started shifting the blame to me, they blamed everything else, including the citizens. They came to speak. They actually heard about it at caucus. I was actually really surprised when they showed up because there's one guy I knew was showing up because he told me, Bill Gillard. He's a fan favorite as well. But they blamed Fort Collins. And Fort Collins is actually adding more public comment. They actually added an hour before their meeting at 7. And then they added another segment after the business meeting. So you can talk about whatever you want. But even if Fort Collins put up a dartboard and said, in order to have your concerns heard, you must hit the bullseye, that would still be more public comment than what we had. So, you know, they're pointing the blue Fort Collins, which is actually giving people more freedom of speech. That's insane.
Right, right. Well, and again, I would just also argue, if you're an elected official and you don't want to listen to the public, then maybe you should just not seek public office.
Well, usually, you know, the smarter bears, and it doesn't sound like Scott James and the rest of the smarter bears, you reserve non-applicable, which is not the thing, to the end of the meeting.
Right.
And then everybody just piles out. They don't want to wait to the end of the meeting. Well, so, those guys couldn't figure that one out, apparently.
So what's going to happen then now? So they might allow public comment if James says it's appropriate at the next meeting. I mean, where does this go from now, do you think?
Only speech that we like.
Yes.
But I mean, we, the royal we be, not me.
Yeah.
And they truly do think they're royal. They really do believe that they rule over you. When you're shutting down public comment, that's obvious to everybody but this group that that was wrong.
Right.
So they started the spin zone right away. I'm just going to start calling the dais the spin zone because they've got every excuse in the world. They passed the resolution saying, we support UNC. And then they went and passed my resolution because it didn't take action.
Oh,
we didn't have action in the previous resolution, right? So, but the action is they won't sign it because it says misuse of taxpayer dollars. That is an action. That's how we enact policy, is through our budget and through our departments. It's telling that they will not sign that resolution, which means they intend to use funds. Secondly, right, not joining the lawsuit, that is something we can do immediately. If the excuse is that sheriff can't do anything because his hands are tied, then let's unhandcuff our sheriff by going after those laws that are keeping him from doing those things. And by the way, the Supreme Court just passed a decision, which I will say it's a decision, but you know, it allowing local law enforcement in Texas to detain and deport illegals. Now, with Denver having all these migrants dropped off at once, we are the border. Okay,
right.
Weld County is the border. We need to defend our border. And the answer I've got on a public meeting, in a recorded public meeting, is if a busload of illegals shows up in Weld County, the answer was we will do nothing. That was the answer Mike Freeman gave yesterday.
Well, and what makes them think, and I have a question because I get suspicious about things like this, and that is follow the money, because it's not like saying there are numerous counties, there are numerous cities that have said, we are not a sanctuary city. Don't send the illegal immigrants here, because Denver is actively shipping them out to other cities because they've got a crisis on their hands right now that they created. And they are paying certain property owners to house them there. So I don't know if maybe there's something afoot in Weld County where I'm just suggesting this, that maybe some commissioner has some kind of relationship with somebody who stands to make money, because it's not like it's a controversial over. I mean, it might be controversial if, in downtown Denver, to say it, right? But in Weld County.
Yeah, but they're rhinos.
Well, so, yeah. So they don't want to open be border.
Seen. Yeah.
They're open border.
Yeah.
You know, they're open border there. Yeah. So, you know, let me ask you one thing too, because I saw a memo. And again, the Weld County Commissioners, where Commissioner Ross, who's the chairperson, I guess, was complaining that when people were signing their signatures onto legislation, they were like crossing over his line. And he considered that.
You would believe in that one. You're ACDC. I mean,
no, my handwriting is so bad. If I had to.
No, but you want everything. You know.
Oh, yeah. A little bit. But is that, I mean, what was the issue with that? I mean,
really,
I guess public comment in there.
I told Commissioner Ross that I would talk to Scott James about doing, you know, crossing the line there. So I honestly, I mean, what a thing to be worried about. This is the business they're worried about rather than doing the people's business. And by the way, back to me abusing public comment, I haven't talked during public comment. That's a time for the public.
Right.
You don't see me there with a gun to anybody's head saying, you must public comment. They came on their own.
Right.
And, you know, people have concerns, and even the appearance of shutting down the First Amendment or the right to petition your government for grievances in
right.
a taxpayer-funded building.
Right.
That destroys public trust.
I'm so disappointed.
Just because you say that your first excuse is we're being criticized.
Right.
And staff was threatened. Right.
Which
nobody, even some of the reporters who reviewed that say, I don't see that. Right.
Right.
So, you know, we were threatened, criticized, so it's the public's fault, right? And
right.
then it's Fort Collins' fault, right?
Right.
Because people are going to, you know, tape themselves to the walls or whatever. And then it's my fault. So the spin zone just keeps going around and round and round. You can tell you cannot trust these folks. If they're willing to give away your right to public speech, your right to public comment, what else are they doing with your
right.
taxpayer money?
Well, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry that Scott James dropped out of the congressional race. He sounds like a great presidential candidate.
Well, you know, Lori, that what they need is just, and I know we like you, so, but they need more commissioners like you on there, not to have these commissioners fighting against, because, you know, let's play out how this would go. So that's how I get up to say something. And all it takes is somebody like Scott James or Kevin Ross or Mike Freeman or Perry Buck to say, oh, I don't like what she's talking about. That's not under the county preview. And then they shut me up, right? I mean, mm-hmm. And I can easily see them trying that. And of course, I don't think that'll go over very well. But I think James was making it clear. We're only going to allow certain speech, and we're going to be the ones who decide whether it's appropriate or not, right?
Correct. And, you know, and again, these are coming from commissioners that all voted to raise your taxes, not
yeah.
once. Not twice, not three times. And then we had a fourth attempt by Commissioner Ross earlier this year, which I shut down. We need to trim the fat out of our own budgets before we even consider asking taxpayers for more money, including the sheriff who just said, oh, we're not being funded enough. I pointed this out in December that we have a county attorney with budget, a $4 million plus budget for all these consultants and all these lobbyists, right, to do public policy. That's insane. We are doing things that the state is already doing, oil and gas industry is already doing. We even are paying employees to do snarky Welcome to Weld County videos and pamphlets. That's ridiculous. We're spending money on things that are nice to have, not need to have, and some of it should not have. So
right.
we need to do that first before we you know, ask for any more money. Spend the money appropriately first.
Exactly. And this is a comment from Charlene. You know, wonder if they've made a deal to put the illegal immigrants to work in some of the processing plants up there. She says the bottom line is, well, county commissioners want illegals. And I think that there's no other conclusion there, because it would be so easy for them to just issue a resolution saying, and the fact that they won't, the fact that they were willing to cut off public comment not have to talk about it. So we'll see where that goes. Hey, well, listen, Lloyd, we'll let you go. I know you've got
lots of fun to do.
Lots of fun and fighting. Thank you. Please keep us posted on this,
absolutely.
Because I have a sneaky feeling that as soon as the attention goes away, like I said, all of a sudden everybody's comments are going to be inappropriate and you're going to be abusive again. So,
right. And I find this, I think they find this very inconvenient timing for them that these issues are popping up. and I'm the only one carrying the flag on it because it's hard for them to campaign for my opponent when I'm doing this
Yeah,
and keep the
absolutely.
work of the people.
Absolutely.
That's right. All right. Well, good for you,
Yeah,
Lori.
good
Thank
job,
you.
Lori.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Charlene, I just am suspicious about why, because you would think in Will County this would be a very safe resolution, right? I mean, numerous other ones have done it, and there's a reason, like you said, they're rhinos that they don't want to. Hey, before we get Jan, I wanted to talk about something else, a hit piece, because there are not very many places that tell you the truth about stuff. The Channel 4 has done a hit piece, Sean Boyd, on Dave Williams,
Oh,
and
it's hilarious.
it
Did you
is him.
happen in the tape?
No, I didn't.
Next time I'll do it. So I'll summarize it. See, so Dave Williams is a supporter of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is American first candidate. But Dave Williams' in-laws years back imported some Chinese plastics to probably resell in the United States. And you go, oh, okay. Why is that? Why is that? What's wrong with that? I mean, there's billions of trade going back and forth, and back, and there's an imbalance. But you can't pick up anything that doesn't have
Yeah,
China's
cell
name
phone,
on it.
right,
And
exactly.
so somehow it's nefarious for Dave Williams' in-laws to import some
Well, to
goods.
have years ago.
They're out of it. They stopped in 22, and they made that sound like Donald Trump must have done it or something. And then they had Jeff Crank, who's just a
Who is
piece
his
of shit,
opponent? Who is Dave's opponent in CD5?
sitting, with his tie on and just smirking away. And it was just hilarious. And then they point out, and Jeff Crank worked for the very conservative and patriotic American
Sean
Prosperity,
was
the
gonna
Koch
call. Yeah.
brothers, the Koch.
It's insane. And Christy Burton Brown, and let's point something out. Christy Burton Brown is under investigation by the Colorado Republican Party, and they're still considering a possible criminal referral for all of the financial, mismanagement at worst, or at best rather, possible criminal activity at worst. Right. So Christy Burton Brown has no love lost for Dave Williams anyway.
No.
Right. Because he's exposed all of the nefarious stuff that was happening under her watch. So she's kind of tweeting, he'll, like, oh, Dave Williams is China first. It's like, what? It's so just so you, because you might hear about it, because I would not be surprised to see the Anschutz media
Yeah,
complex pick it up
right.
because they want Jeff Crank because he's the AFP open borders guy who's a
And
freaking airplane.
he hates tariffs on Chinese goods.
Right. So it's like, who is he? And so
That's wonderful. The other Jeff Crank one that I love the very best was he was saying, and I'm the big Trump supporter, and Dave Williams is one of the people who walked out on in 2016 in the Colorado delegation. And then Dave Williams said, I wasn't there. I wasn't a delegate. And so you know what their answer was? He associates with people
who
that were
walked out.
there. Oh, I got it. He associates with people. He knows some of the people that were national delegates, and therefore he associates, and therefore he's guilty.
Like you said, he wasn't, he's like, oh, I wasn't there. I wasn't a delegate, so I couldn't have walked out. He's like, well, you know people who were. It's like,
Yeah, you associate with them.
you in an airplane flew over a
Yeah,
city where,
you're a fellow traveler.
So just be aware. You have to just be careful because, again, there are not very many
Well, people
places.
said to me, wow, what do you think of this? This is hilarious.
But
This
yeah.
is just hilarious.
Well, because you read it and it's like, wait a minute. So Dave Williams' in-laws had
Imported.
a company years ago that, among other things, imported plastic goods from
China.
China, right? And it's like, okay.
Oh,
And it's like,
and
and how does it make it? I'm sure they paid whatever tariffs were there.
yeah.
It was like, so how does that make him China first? It's like, if you were to try to say everyone who has done any kind of business, like you said, you can't pick up a cell phone. Rev is doing business with China because people on
Uh-oh, he's
TikTok, right?
associating with
I
people.
sometimes look at TikTok too, so I must be a China first. It's just ridiculous. Although it is kind of, and Dave, to his credit, was like, yeah, I'm not going to comment on that. It's just not true. It's not true that I'm a China.
Sean Boyd was so offended.
I'm
You
like,
don't want to be interviewed by me.
it's like, well, and here's the thing you got to know too. It's not like
She
Sean.
said, he says it's fake news, but I say the facts. Talk for themselves and you decide. Okay, you're a fool,
Decided
Juan.
you're an idiot.
You're a
It's
fool.
a fake news story. It's like we've decided, but you know, again, it's you got to look at how this works. It's not like Sean Boyd said, you know, I'm going to look into all of the import records from
Yes.
Dave Williams's in-laws
Right.
from years and years and years ago,
Yeah.
right? And then I'm going to analyze them because, again,
Oh, hey, where's the right here? I see him.
no,
Oh.
somebody, and I'm going to go with Americans for Prosperity slash Jeff
No.
Crank is doing, because it's not the Democrats, right? I don't
No.
think the Democrats, you know, CD5, they got they're focusing other places. So there was somebody did opposition research and found this and then handed it to Sean Boyd, who then ran with it. I mean, so Jeff Crank would be like, okay, Sean, here's all this bad stuff on Dave Williams. It's like, okay.
And I do American Prosperity.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And since you called Jeff, you call my Jeff, my God, Jeff, I've discovered this terrible thing about Dave China first, you know, kind of
Dave, I
thing.
found this terrible thing. You
I
want to give me
mean,
an interview? No, I don't want to give you an
so just keep your eyes open on stuff like that.
interview.
Like Charlene says, boy, they are scraping the barrel for hit pieces. They know we don't like the Koch's China connections. Yeah, I mean, yeah, talk about China connections. The Koch brothers for Chinese prosperity. They're ashamed of their own identity, trying to push it onto someone else. They know they must know people are catching on. Well, that's true. Yeah, that's absolutely right, Charlene. For them to try to pretend that Jeff Crank is the America First candidate. He openly supported Nikki Haley,
Right,
right? He told Americans for Prosperity they were courageous for
courageous
supporting her.
for
Only started supporting Donald Trump when Nikki Haley dropped out.
yeah. Well, no, when he began running for Congress, and they went, "Oh, I've been a Trump fan forever."
Been a Trump fan for at least the past 10 minutes. So
Yeah.
it's just, and again, it is a if you it's a bad hit piece because you it's like, what? Do you know what I mean? It's kind
You
of
know, hit
like,
pieces can be effective even if they're awful because people go, oh, something's bad there. I don't know what it is, but it's bad, bad, bad.
well, I think though,
And I
I mean,
like that Jeff Crank and those Americans for Prosperity.
it's gonna be that's gonna be a brutal fight there. You
Yes,
know, that
yes.
because that's an America First versus Americans for Prosperity. I
You're
mean,
right.
they're
Koch's
up,
Prosperity.
yeah, the Kochs, the Americans for Koch's Prosperity. Yeah, there's a ton of I think a ton of stuff is gonna be coming out attacking Dave. But the trouble is, like Charlene, if this was their first, if this is their big attempt, because then they don't have much to work with, I don't think. Maybe one day they'll say, Dave Williams once said, ordered, you know, sushi or something, which isn't really, you know, or ordered chicken, you know, sesame
Teriyaki.
chicken. Yeah. And so there we go. So I don't know. I see we've got Janet Josie entering the waiting room. So we'll get him on as soon as he's here. Hang on a second. People are texting
They're
me.
texting you
I
about
don't know. We just need to make sure. Oh, okay. Never mind. It was an unrelated text. Let's see. We got this from
checking in.
checking in from Charlene. They want MAGA so bad, but they'll have to give up billions in China trade first. Well, yeah, and you know, speaking of that, did you see, we'll maybe talk a little bit more about this. Did you see the Biden administration today release new regulations that say two-thirds of the vehicles sold in 8 years have to be either EV or hybrid models? And coincidentally, the Chinese are building two massive EV plants
In
in
Mexico.
Mexico.
Oh,
They must have just gotten lucky, and when and all of that. So
that's a Biden for you.
that's a yes. We'll talk more about that later. Let's see if we have Jenick. Are you there yet? You
There is our
are.
man. He's running for CDA, which we're in. He is the Trump candidate. He is the America First candidate. He's going against Gabe Evans, who is the America Last candidate.
It's Americans for Prosperity,
American
the Koch
Prosperity
brothers
candidate, Koch
candidate.
brother candidate. So it's great to have you on.
Hey, Janet, yeah, thank you for your time. Well, hey, you have to unmute yourself. I think you're muted.
Oops.
There you go.
Okay.
We can hear you now.
Oh, good. Okay.
So yeah, I was saying thank you. So let me first, I guess, how is the race going? We've got the primary coming up, what, in a couple of weeks, right? Or that the assembly coming
The
up.
assembly is coming up in about 10 days.
Yes. Now, so I wanted to talk to you first. I mean, in terms of how's it going, I know Gabe Evans, I don't think, is going the assembly route, is he? He's going the petition route, or do you know?
I do not know exactly. The only thing I know, his name was on the list of the petitioners at the Secretary of State's office
Okay.
website. It was there.
Okay. So yeah, and I know there is some, I was reading, there's some confusion, at least I was confused in terms of how many people how many people had made it or submitted the petitions. But I want to talk to you about your policies, just so people understand.
Well, you became famous as Dr. No down to the legislature. Tell us about that.
Well, I, for anybody who wasn't there previously, for your new listener, my name is Janak Joshi, and I'm running for CD8. And they can check me out on my website too, janakforcd8.com. My first name is spelled J-A-N-A-K.
Okay.
So I'm a retired physician. I was elected to the state house for 3 terms, 6 years. I see Lori Saint's name up there. So Lori and we were together over there. And we kind of did quite a few damage to the Democrats when we were there. Lori is a champion for all that. So, yeah, thank you, Lori, for your service, too. But and while I was there, I served on several committees, education, health, insurance. Unfortunately, we Republicans passed the Obamacare at that time, and there were 12 of us or so who voted against it. So I am not afraid to vote against even Republican bills. In our second, my second term, the House started the budget. I guess they take turn every other year. So that was the House's turn, and we increased the budget. While we were on the campaign trail in 2010, we said we will not increase the budget. So there were three of us who voted no on the budget, and the budget passed 62-3. So I know somebody up there doesn't like me for doing that, I'm sure. But
well, that's good, though, because that's what we need. We see so often in Congress that they say they're going to do one thing, and then they get there and they you know, they do just the exact opposite, right? They say, oh, we're going to insist on line items, right? Then they pass the thing. They're like, we're going to defund the FBI, and then they give them a new headquarters. So I think it is important to have people like you who have a proven track record of and standing up to the pressure, because as you said, I'm sure there was some arm twisting going on during all of that. And it can't be easy. But I think, you know, again, we need people like you who, like, when you say, no, I'm not going to vote for that, when you tell the voters that, when the time comes to vote, you keep your word.
Yeah. And sometimes they come after you for doing that. But again, I mean, I didn't have any plan to be there for next 20 years or so, mm-hmm. like many of them do. If people don't like me, it's their prerogative to not elect me. And I'm happy. I have a family life. I have grandkids. I'm fine. All I'm doing is my service to the country, being an immigrant, came legally. And so I'm for secure borders. But again, right now, I'm doing my civic duty. That's all it is.
And let me ask you a little bit, just maybe explain to folks sort of your approach, because, you know, they're talking about the budget stuff in Congress again. What, I mean, talk about what your approach to things like the budget, like illegal immigration, what do you want people to know about that?
Yeah, and those are the two main topics right now, the immigration problems and the budget problems. So let's deal with immigration. It would be a little shorter.
Okay.
Because we already have laws on the books for immigration. When I came, we already had to go through an interview, of course, and then we had to provide a proof that we will not become a burden to the state for 2 more years. When I came, my brother was the sponsor, so he had to get a job later. He had to get a bank letter that he had so much money in the bank. And then he had to sign an affidavit. And I had to present that to the consulate in India before they would even approve me. So this was the process. On top of that, once they approved the petition, we had to go see a doctor, get a blood test done, a chest x-ray done. And we carried a little yellow X-ray envelope, if you remember from the old days. And immigration officer was the only one who could open those papers. They were sealed by the consulate. And that was the process, which worked for years.
Right. Yes.
Well, Joe Biden has a slightly different
Right. So what is happening because of that? Let's just talk just from the medical point of view. Look at now, the tuberculosis numbers have gone up. We just saw measles have gone up. Measles is rampant in these detention centers. In Texas, syphilis has now gone up tremendously, all of a sudden, to the point where they are seeing what we call as a congenital syphilis, which means the babies are born with syphilis, which this was unheard of before. And now all these and the diseases which we don't even know, they are coming in. I was at the border in 2010 in the Arizona, and we walked by the Rio Grande River. Over there, all they had is a very low, like 2 feet tall barbed wires. That's all was the border. And the ranchers were telling us that the cattle come from Mexico and they come on the other side, and they would bring diseases into their cattle. So it's not just human beings we are talking about. We are talking about livestock problems too, with not having a secure border. So I'm all for it. I think we need to secure the border. As an immigrant, I'm not saying we don't allow any immigrant, but I think we allow the immigrants in the with the right process. Like, for example, many of them want to come for the work visa. Yeah, give them the work visa. They'll come and work in our farms or whatever in the appropriate way. And they want to go home, actually. If you talk to many of these, they don't want to stay here. They want to come make money and go home.
So, all
So
right.
what is wrong with that, giving them work visa in a proper way?
Exactly. Well, I mean, because that makes too much sense, Dr. Joshi. That makes too much sense. What about, because we don't have a lot more time, but just a few more minutes with you. What about the economy?
Yeah, so about the economy, I think it all depends on our budget. I mean, we are, like we say, we have been spending money like a drunken soul sailor. So we need to, and I think President Reagan or somebody said that he has never seen anything in the government which does not have fat with it. So I think anything you look at, we can cut something out of it, start bringing the budget deficit down, so that our grandkids will have a better life, our economy will be better, and all this thing will happen. So when I was in the State House, I tried to bring a couple bills which had a lot of fat in it, and try to use that money so that it will be budget neutral and used for education or whatever else, so we didn't have to tax extra. And I probably will do the same. Actually, I'll just give one simple example anybody wants to look at. There is a website called grant.gov. Every grant that government gives in any subject is on this website. Just go and look at what we are wasting money on, all these research projects, which are totally bogus.
Why can't I get a grant?
Yeah,
We need a
exactly.
grant.
Go in there and figure out how
Yeah,
we can
Chuck and Julie
go. So,
grant.
I mean, I'm just giving one example, but I
It'd
mean,
be a
I
great
understand.
fat thing. I
Yeah,
mean,
exactly.
All right, well, sir, let me, because we have some other stuff we need to get to. One more, because we're, and then I think we'll have you on again
Okay,
before.
well, thank you very much for having me today. And
You
God bless. And I hope people will vote for me, put me on the ballot, and we'll go fight.
All right.
We will be voting for you. So thank you, sir. Thank you,
Thank
Jim
you. Thank you,
Josie there.
Jack. Thank you, Julie. See
Thank
you
you,
later.
Charlene, is saying great candidate, MAGA. Yeah, he is. And again, Gabe Evans. It's tricky to see because the Secretary of State's office, I'm not sure when it gets updated, how many people who polled petitions have actually got enough signatures.
Don't turn them in yet.
Yeah, I think it's due sometime, but yeah, but it isn't there. But Janet, just here's the thing, guys, you can tell if you're not sure who to vote for. If they are going the petition route and not the assembly route,
Don't want to
they're a
vote
rhino.
for them.
I mean, there's certain
They
things.
know conservatives won't vote for them,
Right.
and so they need all the unaffiliated Democrats to
Well, and those are that's a pay to play, basically, right? Yeah, they know that the grassroots people won't vote for them, so they'll do it that way. I want to talk a little bit about, because this is interesting. In Congress today, you know, so Hunter Biden, who wanted to have his public hearing, and you know, with the congressional hearings, of course, hasn't been showing up for that. But they are running through the business associates, and that Tony Bobulinski was on there today. Oh, I mean, before he was a Russian hoax, right? He was Russian disinformation, and now he's providing receipts, and he's saying, you know, saying Hunter Biden perjured himself, et cetera. But what's really interesting, and all along, I think the Republicans are saying, no, we have bank records, right? Mm-hmm. Initially, the Bidens were saying, if you remember way back, but you can't, there's too many bank accounts, blah, blah, blah. Well, they have the money. And Representative Byron Donalds does a great job, and we'll play a soundbite, sort of tracing the money from China to Hunter to James Biden, to his wife, Sarah Biden, to Joe Biden.
Seems to be a big loan.
It's kind of a
train-like deal, you know?
Right.
Just everybody's loaning everything to each other. It's just great. And they acknowledge there's no record of the loans. It's very similar to Fannie Willis. Yeah. They, like the Black community, deal in cash.
Yeah. If we could please play the Biden crime family soundbite.
Now, here's where the fun stuff comes in, everybody, and I got a minute to do it, so we're going to get this done. On August 14, there is $150,000 that is transferred from Owasco PC, which is controlled by Hunter Biden, to Lion Hall Group, which is controlled by James Biden. I have the records here, Mr. Chairman, of the $150,000 that has gone to Lion Hall Group from Owasco PC. I want to submit that for the record.
Without objection, it's ordered.
On August 28th, and I believe we have a screenshot for everybody in the room. On August 28th, Mr. Chairman, we have the withdrawal ticket from Lion Hall Group that is signed by Sarah Biden, who is the wife of Jim Biden, for $50,000 to withdraw from Lion Hall Group. I want to submit that withdrawal receipt for the record.
That objection to ordered.
On September 3rd, on August 28th, actually, Mr. Chairman, we have the deposit reference into Sarah Jones Biden's account on the same day she withdrew it from Lion Hall. I want to submit
without
that
objection to order.
Last document. On September 3rd, 2007, from Sarah Biden's own personal account, there is a check that is written to Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the President of the United States today, for $40,000, signed loan repayment. A loan repayment, by the way, that Joe Biden's own personal accountant, Mr. Eric Schwerin, has no record for. I want to submit that for the record, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, so ordered.
To the members of the committee, it is clear that the source of this money came from CEFC. And that CEFC is a company that is directly linked to the CCP and actually the chairman of the CCP, the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, Chairman Xi Jinping.
So there you go. I mean, but if somebody took their 10, you know, the people are taking cuts, right? I mean, it started off at one thing.
Yeah.
And Sarah Biden got, you know, she got 40 or 10,000 bucks for kind of signing the transfer. And one of the things that Comer said is, as you go through the testimony, he's saying there is no evidence that any of the Bidens, from Hunter to Sarah to James to Joe, actually produced any work. Right. There's no. Yeah, exactly.
There's
no evidence that any of them had any of the skill sets necessary to do the work for the companies. Right.
That's
they had skill sets, but they were different kinds of skill sets. Right. And he said there's nowhere in there is ever, you know, there's no time cards there. But I mean, no, there's no even email like, hey, Hunter, are you almost done with that report or nothing like that. He said there's nothing like that. All you have. And this is just one example that we just played for you there. He said, all you have is money you have meetings being held, then money is exchanged, and then it's kind of laundered through this system, kind of like what you saw there, and ends up in Joe Biden's bank account, right? And like Hunter Biden complained, the big guy gets, you know, what, 20%, 10%, something like that. So it's just that they're all making money, but none of them are doing anything to earn it. And you said it's, you know, very clear. Now, the other mainstream media, I'm not going to cover this, but I think this is a kind of thing. It is sort of a drip, 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 right? I mean, the Bidens just, he tries to have this congenial grandfatherly kind
anymore.
Of guy. No.
That was 4 years ago he did. He can't pull that off. With the Adderall, he's just going to be pissed off when he's hyped up.
Exactly. And Barney says, kind of like a RICO case. Yeah. It is a RICO case. That's what, Ocasio-Cortez was like. She asked Bob Alinsky, apparently during the hearing, well, what crimes did the Biden's committee go? How much time do you have? He's like, we got bribery. We got extortion. We've got RICO. She goes, RICO isn't a crime. It is still a crime.
What do you mean not a crime? There are a lot of, all these
is that people. A first name? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
What do they think we put Donald Bush, Trump. Yeah, Donald Trump in for?
In the meantime, then, too, speaking of Donald Trump, some good news and then the bad news. But the good news on that also is that the judge, McAfee, and I think this is interesting, said that Donald Trump could appeal his ruling not to take Fannie Willis off the case, to just take one of the letters, which makes me think that he thinks they should not be on the case. He just didn't want to be the one to do it, right? Because he could have, as I understand it, he could have said, no, you can't appeal.
I wonder why that is. That's a weirdo. If a judge doesn't want you to appeal, you can't appeal. But anyway.
Well, maybe because this is a procedural.
Well, maybe it's interlocutory.
Something like that. Yeah, it's something like that. But that is curious. So the Trump people said they're going to appeal. Meanwhile, you've got, and talk about a travesty of, I mean, the two-tier horrible justice. So you've got the debacle going on in New York over, you know, the outrageous Letitia James prosecutions there, right, over the whole E. Jean Carroll idiocy, right? And Trump can't get anybody to get the bond people to the insurance companies to put up the $494 million.
That's not E. Jean Carroll. That's
is that the... Is that the Stormy Daniels one?
No.
No, I get all the Trump things.
This is that wacky judge and civil fraud.
That's right. It was civil fraud because he whatever it had to do. You're right with the financial.
He valued records. The buildings and
their value, and she the just
judge said, "Well, yeah, Mar-a-Lago. That's the
yeah. That's, I mean, you're
that's
right.
$18 million tops.
You're right. That's right. That was the worst one. And so now they're saying, well, Letitia James can seize Trump's buildings. So, I mean, think about that for a second. If they can put together a fake criminal case against you, right? Mm-hmm. And then we've seen what they've done to lawyers who work with Trump, right?
Where they ask John Eastman.
But they try to do everything they can to disbar them and get rid of them. So, you know, if you're an insurance company, you might be willing to give Trump the bond,
right,
but you got to wonder what pressure they're going to bring to you against it. So they could do that, right? They could arrest somebody, have a fine that they have to pay, and then while they're appealing, refuse or put pressure on people so that the person can't post the bond,
right?
And then they can start seizing your property. I mean, it's like...
He's going to have to declare bankruptcy.
Well, I was reading Jonathan Turley and Alan Dershowitz, for what it's worth, they were saying that they think he should do some kind of petition. There is an intermediate step.
Okay.
There's an intermediate step that he could do it, because I think it does present some issues. I mean, maybe she could take over the property and just hold it. I mean, there's so many issues there. But again, it's while you kind of think about what are the options, I think the important thing is what they're doing to him, right? And the fact that if they could do it to him, as we've seen, they're doing it to January 6th people, they can and will do it to everyone. And I think that is also backfiring too, right? I think if the attorney general or the district, whatever she is, she's the attorney general or the DA, if she like starts seizing.
She's the attorney general.
Yeah, the attorney general starts seizing Trump's business properties.
She will.
You think she will?
Yes.
I don't know. And then stupid Democrats like, well, I thought he's a billionaire. Why can't he just write a check? It's like, it doesn't work like now. That's how the Bidens do it.
Yeah.
the Biden
check going around.
Keep that check going around. And meanwhile, too, just some other stuff. There's some, we have to have more shows. Meanwhile, the Democrats are hard at work getting rid of the Second Amendment in Colorado. I think the House passed, well, they call it an assault weapons ban, but everything's
like it's a gun.
Yeah, it's a gun.
It's a
gun ban, right? And I you know, it looks like it's being ramrodded through. I don't think there's much. I know the Republicans are doing what they can. The Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Group are doing what they can, but a lot of stuff going on at the state capitol. And it's almost, I don't like to think about it because it's somewhat depressing. This is one thought though. I did see Scott Adams tweeted. He was saying, this is funny, but it's not funny. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait till all of the criminals illegally enter our country from Central America. And then once they're all here, then I'm going to go live in Central America.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so there's options.
You've always got options. Well, we will not be here Friday because we'll be traveling. So we'll try to put a great past show on.
Although I saw Mark Poff was on the show. Maybe I'll text Mark Poff too.
And maybe Mark Poff.
It'll either be Mark Poff or a previous show. But hey, that's gonna poor Chuck, you had to recover from your cold.
Still haven't had any illnesses.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, that'll wrap it up for us. Thanks to Lori and to Janik, and the great guys at BBS. And we will see you all next time.
Take care.